Hi, listening friends. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's March 21st, 2014. My co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffels, en route to Florida for a much-needed vacation. So I had him in the studio a few days ago, and we talked about the Book of Acts. So you'll hear that conversation in just a minute. But a few quick updates. Those of you wondering about WGNJ and why it was off the air. Actually, at one point, I heard the phone ringing a number of times, but I was up on a ladder painting Esther's bedroom, a lilac purple, and I figured it was just some telemarketers. And then after about the sixth time it rang, thought I better answer that. And sure enough, 89.3 was off the air. It was Brother Herb calling and Larry Budgetour's Bunning and Rob Seidenberg. It also left messages saying, hey, WGNJ's off the air. Herb got out there and we problem solved. Had to turn the transmitter off and back on, and it seemed like all things were well, till about 40 minutes later when I was back up on the ladder doing some more painting, and we came to find that the same thing happened again, and we think it might be a cooling fan that's not working right, and it shuts down the transmitter. And so en route to try to fix that last night, I have a backup fan motor. It's a specialized fan. We're doing a quick run through the McDonald's drive-thru to try to get this repaired like at 8:39 at night. Well, what happens? The radio Jeep gives up the ghost. It dies in the drive-thru. About 2 hours later, when we're finally able to coordinate a tow truck to get it back to my house, with the help of Bill Erickson and Reynolds Towing, it seemed like 89.3 remained on the air after Herb's last reset and fix. So Lord willing, you're hearing that frequency today. Hopefully the radio Jeep will get repaired, and I'll get that fan motor replaced. But no dull moments, as we're closing in on a week from tomorrow, our community appreciation concert. And if you heard some of my radio spots yesterday and today, we need to still raise about $5,000 for our break-even point, and that's if we sell out the Virginia Theater, like 1,400-plus tickets. So we're still looking for a few sponsors to help underwrite some of the costs, or families or individuals that can do anything like 50 or 100 or 500, 1,000, or maybe even the 5,000 that we need. And so if you can help us out financially with a tax-deductible gift that'll be earmarked for our community appreciation concert, call the station and let us know. We'll acknowledge you in our program. If you're a business, we can do some creative shout-outs. Or maybe you want to dedicate a day for $500, and we can earmark those funds towards our community appreciation concert. But give us a call, 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. And we're very excited about the community appreciation concert coming Saturday night, March 29th. More to say about that and the two events tomorrow night, as I'll share my conversation with Jason just from a few days ago, where I talk about spring break, upcoming events, and then we discuss the Book of Acts. Thanks for tuning in for today, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I know many of you right now are like, get through this day so spring break can start. I know many of you maybe are getting ready to head towards the airport or head out of town or just kind of get home and say, I'm finally done teaching these students and I need some rest or have some things planned. So we hope that'll include one of two options for tomorrow night. There's two different events that Great News Radio is a part of. One, if you tuned in on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you would have heard a conversation with Jason Crabb. He's coming to Danville, Illinois. He and our good friend Steve Stymack have orchestrated their second annual Homes for Haiti concert. They'll be raising funds that'll be directly sent to Haiti to help build homes. Jason Crabb is so well known through the Crabb family and his Southern gospel music and kind of his light contemporary. I think he's one of those crossover artists who has a variety of CDs out. But he's a real blessing to those that were in attendance last year, including myself. And he'll be back tomorrow night. Doors at the Danville High School will open at 5 p.m. Concert begins at 6 p.m. And so you're all invited to that. If you need tickets still, you can purchase them online at itickets.com, or you can stop by Five Loaves, Two Fish Book Cottage in Danville and pick up tickets there, or call Steve Stymack at 217-304-2199. 217-304-2199, and that's a special concert with Jason Crabb raising funds for Homes for Haiti. Now, if that won't work into your schedule or you can't get out to Danville tomorrow in Savoy at the Savoy United Methodist Church, the Singing Men of GNN are putting on a free concert, but there will be a love offering for Habitat for Humanity, and they'll be building a home or two locally. And so that'll begin at 6 p.m., and the Savoy United Methodist Church is located at 3002, so that's 3002 West Old Church Road, and that's west of the Willard Airport, the U of I Airport, west of that. The Savoy United Methodist Church, and we'll begin singing at 6 p.m. in our tuxedos. Larry Budget Tours Bunning has a solo in one of our songs, and it'll be a full program. I think we're singing 15, 16 different songs. It'll probably go for about an hour and a half, and we're excited about that. And we appreciate the Savoy United Methodist Church allowing us the opportunity to participate in raising some funds for Habitat for Humanity. So that's a great Christian organization that serves a lot of people. So those are two things that are happening tomorrow, along with a week from tomorrow, our big community appreciation concert. I hope you're getting your tickets or finding other people you can invite. $15 is the general admission cost. So get a couple neighbors, get some friends, maybe your small group, some colleagues, somebody you work with. Say, hey, come on over to this concert. Great News Radio is putting on a community appreciation concert, and it's going to feature some Dove Award-winning artists, Twyla Paris, Steve Green, world-renowned concert pianist Jan Mulder, along with the Singing Men of GNN. So it'll be a great God-honoring evening, and all those that attended 2 years ago when we put on a similar concert, we're super blessed by it. And so come on out. I'll have some God Listens You Can Too signs. Still trying to give some of those away. And we'll have some other radio literature to hand out, some information on our trip to Israel in November, and some other things. So plan on joining us a week from tomorrow, March 29th, at the Virginia Theater in Champaign to purchase tickets. Buy a bunch of them, everyone. You can call the Virginia Theater at 217-356-9063, 217-356-9063, or log on to thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. Well, I have my Bible open to chapter 6 of the book of Acts. Last week, we got so caught up into Romans that I guess put Acts on hold for a week. But now we have to make up some territory. And what's the Lord doing through Stephen and these saints in the early church?
Well, it's interesting what happens in Acts chapter 6, because the beginning of Acts chapter 6 seems pretty, I mean, it's a church problem, but it seems innocent enough until we get into Acts chapter 6, verses roughly starting in 11 or so. And then we realize, by beginning in 8, we realize that this is actually part of a bigger issue that's happening, persecution of the church. Really, essentially, there's an issue where the widows are being neglected, and the Hellenists, which are Greek-speaking Jews, they rise up and they say, hey, look it, the widows and the orphans here are not being taken care of. This is the cornerstone of this Christian mission statement, and it's not happening. You know, our people are not being helped. Well, one of the things we really need to understand is that at this time, I mean, Christianity is exploding. By Acts chapter 6, we don't know the numbers, but roughly 10,000 or more people, it could be upwards to 15,000 people in that area were worshiping, following Jesus Christ. So to provide for all of these people was really, really hard. And what would happen is you would basically have like these kind of street guys, and they would go around and they would collect donations in the morning. And then they would set up tables or set up a place, and the widows and people would come, and they would be able to get distributions of food or whatever it was that they needed. So these people like would work really, really hard. And so you've got these Hellenists who rise up. And they say, look, there's a problem. Like, our widows are being neglected. And so the disciples, the apostles, being very smart, obviously because led by the Holy Spirit, they call everybody together. They say, well, let's get together. In verse 2, it says, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples. They didn't summon just some of them. They summoned the full number because for transparency, they said, bring them all in. Let's do this in front of everybody. There's nothing we're trying to get away from doing. This is probably just an honest mistake that's happened, an oversight, because we are growing at such a rate. Let's also understand that there are just these handful of apostles who are working to govern over this movement of Jesus in Jerusalem, this huge, monstrous movement. And so the disciples said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. So the disciples say, rightly so, look it, our job is to guard the pulpit. Our job is to make sure that the word of God doesn't get watered down, doesn't get changed, that no kind of prosperity gospel seeps in, that nobody seeks to malign and destroy this message that Jesus had given us. By the way, they were cognizant that that would happen because Jesus said so. He said, wolves may come in dressed like sheep. They might come in and try and twist the word. Later on, writers like Jude, being illuminated through the Holy Spirit, are going to be much more direct when they say secretly they have slipped in. They are godless men who change the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into a license for immorality. But they call them all together and they say, look, we can't do everything. And by the way, if you're a pastor and you're listening, because I'm a pastor, I just want to say amen to this moment here. You can't do everything. You can't serve tables and guard the pulpit. You can't visit every single person in the church and effectively preach God's word on Sunday morning. You just can't do it. And I know the crushing weight of condemnation, frustration, and anxiety that comes because you want to do everything because you're serving God. You want to do as much as you can because this is not bad work, it's good work. But your primary job as a preacher and teacher, as a shepherd, is to guard the pulpit and preach the word of God. And then from there, to care for the flock around you. But one of the greatest cares that you'll give to your flock is the eternal care of preaching God's word in its fullness, in its context, the meat of God's word, all the things that people don't want to hear that they desperately need to hear. Romans chapter 7, the things people don't want to hear, but they have to hear. Look, if you don't understand the weight of sin, you'll never understand the glory of grace.
And also, let me jump in, and to care for that flock around them primarily includes their family, too.
Sure.
Because that can also happen. They get so caught up in the ministry and can neglect their own family, which is just so
fratricide.
Important.
Fratricide. Church fratricide. The family gets shot every time. And everybody goes, everybody says, let's just be honest, everybody says, oh, Pastor, you should take care of your family until their thing comes to the table
yeah.
that they want taken care of. And then they're like, you got one? When did you get one?
Yeah.
Oh, I had one for a while.
Yeah.
But what the apostles do here that's brilliant is they say, therefore, brothers, look at how they're drawing them in. I love when the Bible says things like brothers or sisters or those things because it's language that draws people together, that creates unity. This is unifying language. I wish that as individuals, as small groups, as churches, that we would start to use more of this unifying language, this brothers and sisters, because we're all part of the family of God. If you're not sure, just pull up that old Gaither song and listen to it. You'll get all,
yeah.
You'll be all over that. But it says, therefore, brothers, pick out from amongst you seven men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint this duty. So they say, look, if we pick somebody, you're going to say that we picked our people, not your people. Because this is a divisional issue, too. These are Hellenists. These are not Jewish-speaking Christians. These are Greek-speaking Christians, Greek-speaking Jewish Christians. So I said, look, we don't want you guys to have any problems. So from amongst you, pick some men. Pick seven men. And they said, this is the only criteria that we've got. They've got to have a good reputation. They've got to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And you can then appoint them to this duty. And then we'll devote ourselves to prayer, praying for these guys, laying hands on these guys, and the ministry of the word, which will undergird and support all that we do. Sure, we want to give the widows and the orphans the food. Sure, we want to take care of them. But if we only give them a coat, if we only give them some food, if we only take care of what they need today, but we don't preach the word and take care of their eternity, then I wonder how much we really love them. So it says, and they pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this guy was top shelf, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. By the way, they prayed, I believe, in the choosing of these people. So this is God-ordained and God-directed ministry that's happened here. So they choose these men, and they set before the apostles, they prayed, they laid their hands on them, they said, come, these are your men, God. Commit them to your work. Listen, so we have a problem here. There's a divisional type of a problem. God comes in because these men being led by God, they do what God tells them to do. And because of that, the word of God continued to increase because the apostles stuck to their primary job of preaching the word of God. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests became obedient to the faith. Why? Because these were God's men. They laid hands on them, they prayed for them, and they sent them out. And you know what? The problem I think that sometimes we suffer is we lay hands and we pray on and we send out a few people. I think we need to start to lay hands, pray for, and send out a lot of people. Because these were a lot of people, because it says here in the Bible that a number of disciples, it said they multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Sometimes I wonder if it says things like multiplied greatly because they can't count that high. I mean, it's like a lot of people. It would be hard to give you that great number of people who are coming to faith in Jerusalem.
And it wasn't just a number of Joe Smith on the street, a number of priests. Isn't right. that kind of really significant? I mean, these are, I guess you would say, Pharisees or religious leaders. I mean, these were, I won't say cream of the crop, but this was just not Joe Smo on the corner.
These are people who are definitely more entrenched in their worldview, in their false worldview. Because when you get somebody like that, look, it's like an atheist comes in and starts arguing with me. It would take a monumental shift for them to be able to unhinge me from my worldview. So for these guys to be able to share Christ, the deal is that this had nothing to do with these disciples who brought priests to the faith. It was the Holy Spirit who did it, because that's what's overarching in this passage is the Holy Spirit. So we see this, that Stephen is chosen. The Hellenists come. There's an issue. Stephen is chosen from amongst them, and then they're sent out to do the work. The numbers multiply. Things get bigger. And then we realize that the Hellenists weren't just about their widows. The Hellenists were more about a bigger problem, because it says beginning in verse 8, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people, then some of those belonging to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called." Now, the synagogue and the freedmen, it says here, are the Cyrenes and the Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia. They rose up and they disputed Stephen. Now, these people were Hellenists. They were Greek-speaking Jews. Those people from they resided in quarters. They were a group that had won their freedom from bondage from the Roman Empire. So they were persecuted, then they got freedom. And what happens when persecuted people get freedom? They look for somebody to persecute. That's sociology tells us that's called social ascension. And so they look for other people to persecute. Now, the person they're going to persecute is the person that was chosen from amongst their own Hellenist group, their own people. This man named Stephen, full of grace and power. By the way, I just want to be honest. Stephen is going to become here shortly one of the first church martyrs. We still got a lot of work. It probably won't be till next week till we really get into Stephen being martyred. But Stephen is going to become the first church martyr here. And I want to share with you, this is powerful, because Stephen is the most unlikely candidate to have this happen. Who is Stephen's primary ministry to? Old senior saints. He's teaching the senior saint Bible study. He's leading church over at the retirement community on Sunday morning in Jerusalem. He's visiting the widows and the elderly. Stephen, look at anybody who's done ministry in those camps knows that that takes a special kind of person. Just like it takes a special kind of person to do children's ministry, it takes a special kind of person to do addiction ministry, it takes a special kind of person with a love for senior saints to do ministry to senior saints. And Stephen is that kind of a person. Look, you don't get a guy who's like a rough and tumble, kind of loose cannon kind of guy who goes and does ministry with senior saints. Number one, they've lived enough years that they'll tell you to go pound sand and get out of here. The second thing is that you'll be a bull in the china shop. You'll cause problems. Stephen, that doesn't happen. This guy was gentle, and this guy was loving. In fact, the Bible tells us he was full of grace and power. And so this guy was gentle, and he was loving, and he was doing what God had called him to do in love. And they rose up against him. I mean, one of the most, look at Peter's still around. Why don't they go find Peter? I mean, Peter's impetuous, and Peter's crazy, and Peter will just like bust at the seams and say things that he shouldn't say. I mean, Peter's an easy target. Stephen here, he's doing ministry to the senior saints. And they're like, hey, we got a problem with Stephen. What was your problem? Did he do one too many choruses of Just As I Am? I mean, what was the problem exactly? Then some of those belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, the Cyrenes, the Alexandrians, those folks. They rose up and disputed Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and spirit in which he was speaking, which is they couldn't withstand the Holy Spirit, because that's what Stephen was full of, the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people, they're full of something else. Stephen's not full of that. Stephen's full of the Holy Spirit. So he rightly divides truth. He rightly offers wisdom. I got to bet you, because I don't know about you guys, when the Holy Spirit works in your life, I got to believe Stephen's saying stuff to them, and he's going, man, where'd that come from? Man, oh, wow, Lord, I never thought about that before. I mean, there's many a times where I've been doing ministry, and I go, wow, did I write that? Did I think about that? Did I even say that? Did these lips produce that? Because that's not the wreckage that these lips sometimes, you know, I mean, it's just something else that's produced there. And so these guys then, they get mad. But they're not truly mad at Stephen. Stephen's the target. But what they're mad at is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's refuting their false thinking, their false truths, their false way of living, their immorality. The Holy Spirit is exposing that in them, and they're getting frustrated. And it says in verse 11, "Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.'" Yeah, the guy leading the senior saint Sunday school is blaspheming Moses and God. The guy who's full of grace, power, and the Holy Spirit is blaspheming God.
Well, isn't all jealousy in a sense irrational? And that's really what they were. They, like, here's this gentle servant, gentle giant. Like, look at all the people. They love him. You know, that envious, I wish I was loved. And they started projecting, we got to put this guy down. I mean, they were just filled with jealousy and being used of Satan. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit was just falling on their deaf ears. They just hated him.
And so what we get now is we're going to see some things happen in the coming passages, beginning in verse 11, that allow us to see that Stephen's trial here, if you want to call it a trial, it's a mockery of a trial, because it's not necessarily, it's more a trial by crowd than a trial by justice. But don't worry, the author and perfecter, the judge almighty, will judge these people. We don't have to worry about that. But we'll see that his trial looks a little like Jesus' trial. Because in Acts 6:11 it says they secretly persuaded false witnesses. The word persuaded is only used here in the New Testament by hint or suggestion. By the way, it's used in Matthew 22:59-60, where it says the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Note that they produced many false witnesses to testify against Stephen regarding what? What did they pick? The law, Moses, the law, and the temple, the holy place. They couldn't argue with the good things that he was doing. They couldn't go, oh, Stephen. I mean, did you hear him? He preaches a blasphemous word. What blasphemy? Look at the senior saints would have known if he did that. Something we have to understand here. These widows, these older folks, these people who had been following Yahweh for a long time, Christianity to them was new. But the word Moses, the temple, those things.
They were steeped in all the
traditions
and new scriptures.
They were steeped in it, man. They knew that. They knew their Torah. And so they couldn't argue with the goodness of what Jesus was producing through Stephen. So they picked on Moses and the temple, the holy place. And notice they didn't say against God. And it's just fascinating how they raise up against him. "For we have never heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place or will change the customs of Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Imagine just like he's full of the Holy Spirit. And imagine this moment where they're trying to incite something here. And Stephen just looks at him and is just like, guys, come on. I mean, really? We've got a lot of work to do. I mean, is this what we're really going to do? The Bible doesn't capture Stephen saying that. I'm just thinking that I wonder if that's just kind of what his face was saying. I mean, he's just there and his face is just kind of extolling the glory of God. And he's just like, come on.
I wonder if he thought of those words. I think it's in Exodus. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to stand still. Probably familiar with that passage and thinking, you know, God's for me. I'm doing his work. These things are ridiculous. And, you know, obviously it came to the point where they took his life, but he entrusted himself to God all along.
Yeah, and so what's interesting here is they don't say that he's blasphemed against God. It's the Moses and the holy place, the temple. Because here's a question you need to ask yourself. What's more important, the church or the Savior who powers and empowers the church? And why is that important? Because if you were Jewish, the temple was the center of everything that you did as a Jew. The center of your pilgrimage, the four main feasts, the center of religious worship, the center of religious law, the center of religious culture, religious economy, the center or the epicenter of everything you did religiously. Not to mention, it was the manifest presence of God. It was the manifest presence of God. And so this would be the thing that for Jews, even though they had accepted Jesus Christ, the temple was still the center of their life. Their faith was still geographic. Remember in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we talked about these Greek-speaking, these Hellenist Jews. Why did they come to Jerusalem? They came to be near the temple. They came to be near the place that God was resting in. So who do these people of the Freedmen Synagogue attack? They go right for the jugular, which is the thing that's central to all Jewish people's lives, the temple. And they use that as a vehicle to begin to condemn Stephen. The next time we talk, we're going to talk about Stephen's amazing Holy Spirit-led response to them.
Hmm. And that'll probably be in 2 weeks, because next Friday, I think because of our community appreciation concert, we're going to have a special Twyla Paris, Steve Green, Jan Mulder morning program featuring all their music or something. So we might be 2 weeks out. We'll get back into Chapter 7 of the Book of Acts. But we're so glad you're part of our radio listening family and are tuning in on a regular basis. Allow us to be used of God to minister to you throughout the day. When your pastor's not available and you can't make it to your local church, tune in one of our four frequencies, and we pray that God will use that to help you on your faith journey. Well, that was my recent conversation with co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo, who's en route to Florida on a much-needed vacation. So we recorded that conversation a few days ago, and I hope you were blessed by that discussion on the wonderful Book of Acts. As you know, most Fridays, we're doing a verse-by-verse study through the Book of Acts. I think this is like our 32nd week. So we got many, many months ahead of us as we'll go through each and every chapter, Lord willing. Well, as discussed, two events tomorrow, one in Danville, one in Savoy. Our community appreciation concert's a week from tomorrow, the 29th, at the Virginia Theater. And we're hoping to sell out the theater. So purchase your tickets now by calling the Virginia Theater at 217-356-9063, 217-356-9063, or logging on to thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.